You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit realchicago.com.
Good morning, church. Good morning. Kiddos, you are dismissed. But just a friendly reminder to parents, kiddos are also always welcome to hang out here too. There's no stress, no guilt, no shame about them making noise. If anything, I will just be jealous that they get to express their emotions so openly, and I do not. So for those of you who don't know me, I am Chelsea Wooding. I am a teacher in training here at Real Church, and I'm honored to be up here once again through the authority given to me by Pastor Nathan, through the authority given to him by God to be up here teaching today. And we are continuing in our Impact series. So for those of you that might not have been here, either for all of them or for some of them, you're more than welcome to go to our podcast to follow up and listen and catch up. But the Impact series has been helping us learn about lesser known characters in the Bible and how they made a simple impact using their unique shape. So Tawny taught a couple weeks ago that this idea of a simple impact is a little bit challenging for us because we tend to use our own measuring stick. We tend to use a measuring stick given us to by the world, right? That is unrealistic and never what God intended. Instead, we need to shift to using God's measuring stick. And so what we might call a simple impact actually isn't so simple, but that's what we're calling it, so we're going to go with it. The other piece of that, too, is that we might not always get to see the impact. You know, I think sometimes we think about these characters now and we see the impact they were able to have because we're removed from it. In that moment, they might not have always understood the impact they were having. And again, that comes back to this idea of the measuring stick. If we want to see the impact today, we might be disappointed. But instead, what God is doing is choosing to use us to create ripples. We might not see the end of those ripples, but he has something planned for them. And so again, it's about using our shape, using who God made us uniquely to be to create that impact. So over these weeks, we've been talking about lesser known characters. We've talked about Cleopas, Abigail, Ittai, Shiphrah, and Puah. And those are pretty relatively unknown characters, right? Some people knew some of them, but for the most part, we all kind of went, oh, yeah. Sure. But this one today might be a little bit different. I'm curious, how many of you have heard of Jabez or the prayer of Jabez? Okay, quite a few. Awesome. In the late 90s, early 2000s, Bruce Wilkinson actually wrote an entire book on the prayer of Jabez. And what's pretty amazing is it's one verse in the entire Bible. The prayer of Jabez is one verse, and he wrote an entire book on it. And we're going to have an entire sermon today on it. Two verses. And when Pastor Nathan was helping me prepare for today, he informed me that in the 90s, early 2000s, this was something that was taught a lot in church. So I actually am going to present a challenge to you all today, particularly those of you who are familiar with Jabez, but even those of you who aren't. I am going to ask and challenge you to leave your assumptions and your expectations aside. So we all come in with expectations, right? We all come in with assumptions about other people, about the teaching, about the music. And I'm going to ask and challenge you to please set those aside. What I teach today might be similar to what you've learned in the past. What I teach today might be completely different from what you've learned in the past. But either way, I'm going to ask you and challenge you to be open to whatever the Holy Spirit has today, however he wants to move. If that reinforces the past, great. If it's something completely different, great. The other foundational piece I want to lay is that this is not a prayer for prosperity. This is not a prosperity gospel. I really want to, I know we haven't even talked about it yet, but that's how important this is to me, that we really lay this down. And it's going to make sense as soon as we jump into it. But this prayer, on its surface, it's beautiful, and we're going to talk a ton about it, but it can get tweaked so easily to be about us and our comfort and our prosperity instead of about God. And John, you nailed it with open, and I'm going to just come back to you a million times because what you said was spot on. So as I was doing some research about Jabez, the prayer of Jabez, these verses, and after Pastor Nathan informed me that this is something that's relatively popular, particularly after Wilkinson's book came out, there was one website I found, and I actually want to put this up, again, just as evidence of how quickly this can get tweaked. This is about the prayer of Jabez. People across the world have prayed this prayer and received huge and amazing results. They have been blessed by God in astounding ways. Is this prayer more powerful than others? Is there some magical power in these words? No. But God is the source of all power and blessing, and when people ask for it, they receive mighty things from God. Why does there seem to be blessing when people pray the prayer of Jabez? Perhaps God is answering because people are praying. Now, on the surface, there is nothing wrong with these words. There's nothing wrong with what this says. It is true. This is not a magical prayer. This is not a more powerful prayer than anything else. All blessing does come from God. These words are true. But can you see how easily they could get tweaked? People prayed this and got huge results. God is the source of all power and blessing. Absolutely. When people ask for it, they receive mighty things from God. Yeah, that's true. But as God wills it, if it's in alignment with his kingdom, if it's for him, not I prayed I want to win the lottery and God bless me with it. Because chances are that's going to destroy and kill me and my faith and my marriage and everything about me. So it's very easy to spin this prayer asking for God to give, 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 give. But instead of looking this as a prosperity prayer, as a prosperity gospel, I'm going to challenge us to really look at Jabez's heart. And again, we're going to talk about that more. So I know that's a lot of laying the groundwork already without us even jumping into the verses. But I feel like it was an important place to start, so that we're all on the same page about the intention behind these verses. Instead of just going in and thinking, cool, I can go to God and ask for whatever I want. He's going to give it to me. Not the message today. So church, will you join me in prayer? Father God, we come before you. God, I ask that you would bless me and that the Spirit would work through me today. That all of us would listen and learn so that your kingdom, God, would grow. God, would your hand be with us? God, keep us in line with you and your kingdom, not our own selfish kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So today we're gonna be in 1 Chronicles 4. If you have your Bibles and wanna go there, you please feel free. Again, it's 1 Chronicles 4. But a little context about Chronicles before we jump in. The books of Chronicles, Ezra, and Nehemiah all tell the story of God's people fulfilling his purpose. They're returning to Israel after exile. And this journey for them is not an easy one. They face a lot of difficulties in this process. Their capital city and their temple have been completely destroyed. Foreigners have moved in. They no longer are ruled by their own king. And so these books are chronicling their journey back. Now, Chronicles specifically is laying the groundwork by telling Israel's history, starting with a genealogy or an ancestry list. And I think that's one of the reasons sometimes we lose Chronicles, especially 1 Chronicles a little bit, because it's a lot of he begat him, who begat them, and them, who married her, who begat them, and them, right? And we're just sitting there reading names that none of us know how to pronounce, and we're all just faking it till we make it and trying our best to get to somewhere else where we stop talking about who begat who. But there's actually quite a bit that we can take from it. And one of the things that I read that was really interesting is that not only is this an ancestry list and a genealogy, but starting with Adam, the purpose of 1 Chronicles is to situate the Israelites, to situate Israel among the nations and to remind them of their calling. not just to remind them of who they are, but what God has called them to. And we're going to come back to that in a second. But so we jump into 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9, and we read about Jabez. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm so that it might not bring me pain." And God granted what he asked. So who is Jabez? What's the context here? What's his background? If 1 Chronicles is a genealogy and ancestry list, where does he fall in? What do we know about him? One of the things that Pastor Nathan taught me early on was when you're reading, I've gotten access to a lot of really great commentaries and other resources. We have Google now, which knows everything. And his rule was read the verses first. So I read these verses and I had those exact questions. Who is this guy? Where is he in the line? He's okay, more honorable than his brothers. Who are his brothers? What'd they do wrong? So I went back. And then I went back more. And then I went forward, and then I went back again. I searched and searched. This guy isn't anywhere else. We don't know anything about him. Literally, these two verses sit between he begat him, begat him, begat him. We hear about Jabez. And then he begat him, begat him, begat him. And Jabez is nowhere in any of those lists. These two verses are inserted within those ancestry lists. And so then I started digging a little bit more. Okay, that's really interesting. So we don't know a ton about Jabez. Who he is, who his brothers were, who his mom was, nothing. But we can make some educated guesses, and actually we do learn quite a bit from him in these two short verses. So remember, the point of Chronicles was to remind people of their calling. So the author of Chronicles was teaching us about God, about his people, his purpose, his plan. He's reminding the Israelites to pray. He's calling their people, the people of Israel, to pray, reminding them to pray, and reminding them to go to God for help instead of relying on themselves. Another thing that we learn about Jabez is that if name represents character, right? A lot of times we can learn a lot about people in this time about from their name. Their name tells us a lot about them. And we learn that Jabez was named because his mother was in a lot of pain during birth. And so what we can glean from that is one of two things. One, either it was expected that Jabez was going to suffer a lot of pain in his life, that it was expected that was going to happen, it was feared that was going to happen, or he was in pain and suffering from day one. He lived a life of pain and suffering. Now, I have never given birth. I don't have any children. I have a number of friends who do. Many of you in this church have been blessed with little nuggets, and it's amazing. I have never talked to somebody who had a kid and they've gone, "Oh yeah, no pain, none. I want to do it again tomorrow. So easy." I don't think that's a thing. I think childbirth is painful. So how painful did this childbirth have to be for this mother to characterize her son and name him based on that experience? Like, whole other level, right? So Jabez was likely experiencing pain and sorrow his entire life. But again, I want to point to the fact that Jabez calls on God to turn that pain, that sorrow, that suffering into blessing. So if we break down this prayer in verse 10, we see that Jabez asks for three things. First, he asks for blessing. I think we sometimes, I know I, have a tendency to come to God and ask for things, to almost treat God like Santa Claus, right? With my laundry list of things. "Hey God, can you do this and then this and then this and this? Oh yeah, somebody else needs this. And then if you could please," it's like the Amazon delivery, right? Can you take care of this today? But we learned that God, and I think we can all agree, God has abundant blessings for us. And so I want to challenge you, church, is there something that you don't have that you want to ask God for? Now, the asterisk there is that he might use it for his kingdom. That is his will for your life. Like John talked about, that is more about your character than it is about your comfort or your circumstance. But it is a good reminder that we can ask God for blessing. We can come to him and ask for that. Not only does Jabez ask for blessing, but he says that you would bless me and enlarge my border. So again, we don't know a ton, but we can take an educated guess that it might have been that Jabez had a small sphere of influence. And again, I think many of us can recognize and identify with following God is sometimes really difficult, right? Because it requires us to give up a lot. It requires us to give up our selfish desires. It requires us to sacrifice, to get rid of what I think is best for me and instead focus on what is best for God's kingdom, what's best for God's church and God's people. So enlarging his border is not necessarily just about, please give me more land. That might have been part of it, but enlarging a border is more about enlarging influence, right? Enlarging impact. So if we think about what that might mean for us today, that could be evangelizing to others, meeting other people, new people, making new friends in the community. Could be teaching others, an opportunity to speak to them and share. Having children. Again, it is amazing how God has blessed this church with so many little nuggets over the past few years and how they've grown. Incredible. But that's a sphere of influence, right? That's an impact that we have. Purchasing homes. Again, God has moved in this group of people and brought amazing homes to expand our impact and our influence to different areas of the city, different communities, different neighbors, different people. So again, when we're praying and thinking about asking God to bless us, what are you asking God to bless for his kingdom? So he can use it for his kingdom. So that's the first thing Jabez asked for, is blessing, enlarging his border. He also asked that God's hand would be with him. Jabez recognizes that he is not the solution. I'm going to say something and I don't want you all to get mad at me. But you might, and that's okay. Our shape is deficient. Our shape is beautiful. Our shape is unique. God has blessed us with our shape, but our shape alone is deficient. Our shape, when handed back over to God to use for his will and his kingdom, that's when there is movement and impact. So Jabez is asking for God's hand to be with him because it's not about him. It's not about his shape. It's about creating space for God to move. And what's really interesting is that Jabez doesn't ask for God's right hand to be with him. So those of you who have spent time diving into the Bible, there's a lot of times when the right hand is referred to. Because the right hand is the hand of power, the hand of authority, the hand of rule. But Jabez doesn't ask for the better hand. Right? He understands that either of God's hands is more than enough. In fact, let's be honest, God's pinky toe is more than we need, right? And it's kind of cool how this points to other areas of scripture. One of the ones that came to me was in Matthew 20, when a mother comes to Jesus and asks Jesus that her two sons would sit at his right and his left hand in the kingdom. And Jesus' response to her is, "Lady, you don't have any idea what you're asking. You have no clue what you're asking for." And I think sometimes we fall into that same thing. How often, church, do we come to God and only ask for the favor, the power, the position, and authority of the right hand? How often do we only ask for the honor and the glory of the right hand instead of just saying, God, will you be with me? And whatever part of you you want to be with me, will you just be with me? So Jabez asked for blessing. He asked for God's hand to be with him. And he also asked God to keep him from harm. Now, this is another one of those areas that we have to be really careful. And I'm going to come back to this a couple of times. I think it's fair to say that all of us in this room are experiencing some kind of pain. And maybe right now you're not really in it, but you've experienced it in the past. I'm so excited for you. Some of you have honored me and been courageous and vulnerable enough to share some of your pain with me and what you've been going through, how God's challenging you and growing you. But I know I don't know the half of it. And for some of you, I don't know any of your pain. Regardless of how much I know, church, there is one who knows everything. There is one who knows your pain and who has sat with you in that pain. Jabez isn't coming to God telling him anything he doesn't know. Jabez isn't surprising God by this. But he is coming to him and saying, God, I can't do it. I need you to do it. I don't want to teach this, but I feel like I have to. Let me rephrase. I feel like God is calling me to. Suffering and pain are a part of life. We are taught in the Bible that God will take all pain away. He will take all suffering away. He will take all sadness away when we are with him in eternity. We are not given that promise this side of eternity. So pain and suffering are a part of life. I don't like teaching that. I don't like admitting that. But they are something that can be good for us. They can teach us so much. They can tell us that something's not good. They can tell us something's wrong. They can also teach us a lot about our character and how much we try to fix it instead of turning to God and asking him for help. And that's what Jabez is doing here. He is turning to God, asking for his help. And what's really cool, again, if we think about those ripples that we talked about earlier, this is actually a really interesting leadership decision on Jabez's behalf. Because remember, he also asked that his impact would be expanded, right? That his border would be enlarged. So by God working through him, then Jabez is going to be able to have an impact in the lives of other people as well through those ripples. He's asking to be changed first to then impact and intercede for others. He's interceding for himself to then intercede for others. So as we're thinking about prayer in general and interceding in general, I think it's really important to ask two questions that Jabez really illustrates here. One, where is your heart? Where is your heart when you're praying and asking God, seeking God? We've kind of talked about this quite a little bit throughout the series. Do you have a servant's heart or a scarcity, selfish heart? A servant's heart comes to God and says that the king and his gifts are always good, whether those are the gifts we expected, whether those are the gifts we wanted, or whether they're the furthest from it. That God is good, his gifts are good, that we trust God and his goodness. Or we can pray with a selfish heart. That if we're honest, really honest, does not see God as good. It doesn't see his gifts as good enough. It sees him as withholding gifts, that his gifts are deficient or wrong. God, I appreciate that, but you were supposed to do that. It's a scarcity mindset. God, I appreciate that, but you only gave me like a tenth of what you were supposed to. We need to repent and admit that at times we don't think God is good. And let me be the first to confess, church, I have been there. And I still am there at times. I have, 3 years ago, I basically said F you to God. Flat out. I not only said he wasn't good, I said he did not bless. I said he caused harm. I said he caused and brought pain into people's lives. I was done. When we bring that scarcity heart, that selfish heart into prayer, it completely shifts the motivation. It shifts the focus from God and his kingdom and his will to my kingdom, my will, my comfort. And we can compare and contrast, right? We've been learning about so many characters. We can think back to Nabal and that scarcity mindset of every blessing that God gave him. And clearly he had a lot. He was rich. All those blessings, Nabal still didn't believe he had enough. He still didn't have enough to share and to bless others and to give others. But Jabez is coming to this prayer from a servant's heart. God, would you bless me in your way, how you want to? So the first question is, where's your heart? The second question is, what's the purpose? Jabez is humbly coming to God, asking for help. And it's not about complaining. Again, if we're assuming, making this educated guess, that Jabez has led a life of pain and suffering, he isn't coming to God outlining and bullet pointing all of the things that have gone wrong, all of the injustices, all of the pain, all of the suffering he's experienced. And I think sometimes we struggle with that, right? Because unfortunately, complaining isn't asking, right? Man, God, this is awful. This is terrible. This is the worst. Why isn't it changing? And God's just going, will you please ask me? I know it's bad. Will you please just ask me to do something? Right. It's just still sucky. All right, fine. Complaining, grumbling, griping. These aren't asking. And in fact, they're actually defense mechanisms. Please forgive me. I'm going to put my training hat on for a little bit, my education hat on. Complaining, A, makes us the victim, but B, it also protects us because if our prayer doesn't get answered, well, we never asked anyways, right? If I don't ask, I can't be denied. So I'm just going to complain, let God know things are wrong, and if he shows up, cool, but if he doesn't, I'm still safe. It's also pretty clear, well, let me rephrase that. The other purpose of this prayer is, again, it's not your prosperity. It's not about your wealth, your comfort. And to point back to something Pastor Nathan teaches quite often, if that's where you go in this prayer, I want to encourage you to reflect, who taught you that? Where does that come from? Critically examine that belief system and what might lead to thinking, I'm going to pray and ask God to bless me so that I can be comfortable, that I can go on a 3-week cruise, that I can go and have this much money in my savings so I always feel comfortable and I never have to trust God. Critically examine where that comes from, why that's there, and turn it back over to God. Ask him to help change your heart. Where's your heart? What's the purpose? So all of that being said about this one verse, let's jump into our points. We haven't even touched our points yet, I know. Come on. So when we think about prayer and interceding, point number one, interceding requires us to be real. It requires us to be real with ourselves, real with others, and real with God. Jabez is essentially interceding for himself. And again, like we talked about, interceding for himself so that his ripples and his impact might then affect others. But if we want to pray and we want to intercede either for ourselves or others, we have to admit where we are. We have to be real that it's hard to get up on a Sunday morning. We have to be real that I'm in the suck right now. We have to be real with what's going on. We have to be real with, I am in a fantastic place right now. Praise God. Celebrate with me. We have to own that things hurt, that we experience pain. We also have to own that our culture teaches us that the more we have, the better. Or even if we do have, that what we have isn't quite enough, and I'll feel better when I have more or when I have better. It's an idea called continual striving. Cool, you've made it this far, then I just have to keep going because what I have is never enough. We have to own that and admit that pressure culture puts on us. Jabez had to pause to be real about his name. That his name literally meant pain and suffering. He had to be real with God about his fears, about what might happen. He had to acknowledge he couldn't do it on his own. I'm going to confess to you, church, I got this. I'm good. Chelsea, you're literally running into a wall. No, it's cool. I'm making it weaker, I promise. It's a steel wall. No, I know. It's weaker. It's weaker than it was 2 years ago. I got you. Don't worry. We can't do it on our own. Let me rephrase that. We can try. It's going to be a whole lot easier and better with God. We have to be real with others asking them for prayer. Again, admitting, I can't do it on my own. It was so beautiful yesterday in Kindred. Just the whole thing was beautiful. But this moment of a table full of women essentially reinforcing to one another, you are not a burden. You are never a burden. All of us want to help and support the other. We are here. And interceding in prayer is the same way, but it's hard to step out in faith and ask for help. We all want to be that person to help. We all want to be there for someone else, but none of us want to do the work of asking. To intercede, we have to be real, and to be real with others to ask them for prayer. We also have to step out in faith. I am so honored that some of you at different points have come to me asking me for prayer. And I want to confess again, I'm honored and so touched, but in that moment feel so inadequate because my prayer is not good enough. I'm going to pray wrong. I'm going to say something that I shouldn't. And who am I that God's even going to listen to me? You should definitely go to somebody in leadership because their prayers are way more powerful and mean so much more and God loves them more. So don't come to me. These are things that happen up here, guys. It's real scary. We have to step out in faith. And again, not just to intercede for ourselves, but to intercede for others too. Now, one thing that I do want to touch on as we're going through these 3 points is something that Nick talked about last week. We want to be really careful placing these characters on a pedestal, placing these people on a pedestal. Yes, there's so much we can learn from them. Yes, there are great takeaways from all of these different verses that we're talking about. But they're not perfect. They're not Jesus. That means they're infallible. And so we should not be placing them on a pedestal. And we need to be open and honest about their strengths and where they might have fallen short. Now, again, we don't know a ton about Jabez. But one thing that we don't know is we don't know how long he tried to do it on his own before he turned to God. And again, coming back to how John opened us up, we don't know how long he asked for things he wanted instead of asking for things he needed. And maybe he sat in frustration. Why isn't God answering me? Why isn't God answering me? Because he was asking for the wrong things. He was asking for things that would destroy him. And actually, God was blessing him by not giving him those things. Right. Church, some of the things we're asking for are not things that we need. They're things we want. And so I think sometimes even shifting the prayer to God, what do I need? Before we come and ask him for those blessings, can change that heart and that purpose of the prayer. So point number one, interceding requires us to be real. Point number two, we are called by God to pray earnestly and unceasingly for ourselves and others. And we find this numerous times in Scripture. We are called to pray earnestly and unceasingly for ourselves and others. Regardless of our insecurities, regardless of our doubts, regardless of anything, Hey, will you pray for me? Look, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm nervous right now, but yes, I would love to. Let's give this a shot. And again, leaving those assumptions and those expectations aside. We read about this in 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Pray without ceasing. James 5. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you might be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Pray. Ephesians 6, 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray. Pray that you don't know what to pray for. Pray that you don't know how to pray, because guess what? We have a Holy Spirit who intercedes for us. God knew we were going to fall short in our prayers, so he fixed it for us. He sent the solution. Bless you. The author of Chronicles believed in the power of prayer. Not only does he write about it later in Chronicles, but he made it a point to put these verses in there to remind people of their calling to pray. But again, let's be careful putting Jabez on a pedestal. We don't know how long he had to pray before God answered. I think sometimes when we read scripture, we fall into this temptation that one verse immediately comes after the next verse, right? That things are just happening chronologically in order as we're reading them. That's how they happened. And that's not always how they happened. Yes, we clearly read that God answered Jabez's prayer, but we don't know when. We don't know how long Jabez had to come to God praying and seeking him. The Bible reminds us to pray unceasingly. A while back, Tawny talked about conditional and unconditional commitment, right? This idea of, well, I'm just going to pray when it's comfortable for me. If it's safe, I'll pray. If it's comfortable, I'll pray. No, God calls us to, even if it's uncomfortable, I'll pray because that's what God calls me to. Even if I don't know what to pray, I'll pray because that's what God calls me to. God, even if you don't answer me right away, I'm going to pray because that's what you've called me to. So point number one was interceding requires us to be real. Point number two was that we are called by God to pray earnestly and unceasingly. And point number three is that God hears our prayers and answers in a holy and sovereign way. Can we just stop for 1 second? God hears our prayers. That's crazy. Right? The creator of the heavens and the earth, the God of all, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, cares about us enough to listen when we want to talk to him. That's mind-blowing. There are times I don't even want to listen to my husband, and he's one person. God listens to all of us. He hears our prayers, and not only does he hear, he answers, and not only does he answers in a way that builds our character, that in the long run is the best for us. It might not feel good in the moment.
Nope.
But it's what's good for us in the long run. Again, we read clearly that God granted the request of Jabez. He responds to Jabez's earnest prayer. And what's amazing is that God is greater than Jabez's pain and suffering. God is so much greater. He can overcome all of that. again, with just his pinky toe, like not even really difficult for him. He can overcome anything. And once again, we can find this supported a lot of different places in scripture. In 1 Peter 3, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." He hears, his ears are open. Jeremiah 29, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Again, that question, church, where's your heart when you're coming to God? Psalm 66, "I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer." So we learn from the prayer of Jabez that not only does God hear us, but God answers us. Well, once again, we don't know how God answers Jabez's prayer. All we get from the scripture is that God answered. We don't know what that looked like. And I'm going to guess, if I were a betting woman, it was not how Jabez thought it was going to look. So we need to be really careful expecting God to answer our prayers exactly how we think he should. Pastor Nathan has taught about this in the past, right? We're sitting here going, "All right, God, that's what I want. Can you just right there?" And he's sitting over here going, "Hey, hey," and we're, "Stop, I'm trying to pay attention. I'm trying to wait for God. Stop bugging me. I got to be over here so I can see when God answers my prayer." And he's literally sitting over there like, "When will you turn around? I'm right here," right? Again, those expectations and those assumptions, of exactly how God's going to show up, exactly how God's going to answer us. Because again, God is worried about our character, not our circumstance. And I know I'm hammering that. But again, I want us to be really careful that we can pray the prayer of Jabez and all of a sudden have sunshine, rainbows, and lollipops all the time. That is not the goal of this prayer. The other piece of this is, are you willing to listen to God's answer? My confession is no. I'm not. Because a lot of times it's something I don't want to hear. Or it's something I don't want to do. God's answer might be, "Wait, I don't like that." My type A is like, "I'm sorry, I don't speak that language. What did you, I'm sorry, I don't understand. What does wait mean? What is that word?" Sometimes God might say, "Slow," even worse. "So you're gonna let me move, but I have to move slow? No, that's not, I don't have that gear anywhere in me." God's answer might be, "Go now, even though you don't know everything. You don't have anything lined up, but I want you to go." No, I need my 10-step plan for when I do what and how and why and who I talk to. I think Pastor Nathan and Pastor Mike are probably so sick of me going, "Cool, how? How do I do that, though?" Are we willing to step back and listen to God's answer when we pray? And again, that's checking our heart. That's checking our purpose for the prayer. And constantly coming back to God, "God, I'm going to confess to you, I don't like that answer. It's got to be you doing that through me because I can't do that." Praying unceasingly. So again, we don't know a ton about Jabez, but we do learn a little bit about him, and we can make some educated guesses to learn about his shape. And I've set up his shape not only about him, but about interceders in general too. So what are some of the spiritual gifts of Jabez and of people who are interceders? First and foremost, prayer, the gift of prayer. But remember, we don't get to say, "Oh, I don't have the gift of prayer, so I don't have to pray." There was no asterisk in those verses that we talked about earlier saying only interceders must pray unceasingly. No, those words go to all of us. All of us are called to pray. The spiritual gift of faith, word of wisdom and word of knowledge to know what to pray. Serving, wanting to be there for other people, wanting to sit with other people and intercede on their behalf. The gift of hope, not hope in ourselves, hope in God, in his power, in his goodness. Having a servant's heart compared to the selfish heart, the scarcity heart that we talked about earlier. The ability to communicate, an important one, to pray. You can pray in your head, but praying out loud is good too sometimes. To be observant, to see when somebody might need prayer, when somebody might want prayer, to see when you need prayer. To be resilient, to be able to humbly come to God when you have nothing left. When you have everything left, humbly coming to God and giving him the praise. Some personality traits might be caring, honest. Again, you have to be real. Conscientious, aware of what's going on. Trusting. It takes a lot of trust to go to somebody and say, man, I need prayer right now. Whew. A lot of trust. A lot of trust in God as well. Again, humbling ourselves to admit, one, I can't do it on my own. I need to ask somebody else to help me pray. I can't do it on my own. I need to ask God to help me. And then the experiences piece. Again, we don't know a ton about Jabez, but based on his name, his life was one of long suffering and of pain. And those experiences got him to what we read about here. Again, I so don't want to teach this. But as Nick taught last week, our pain is a part of our shape. Our suffering is a part of our shape. Sitting in the suck sucks. It does. It hurts. It's not fun. It's awful. It's awful. But we don't learn and we don't grow in the sunshine and the rainbows and the lollipops. It's pretty and it feels great and it's nice to be there sometimes. But that's not where we grow. That's not where we change. That's not where we're challenged. So please, please be careful praying that God takes away all the pain. Because that pain is part of your shape. That pain might be there to help teach you, to help you level up, to help you learn, to help your faith grow deeper in God. Last week we sang the song New Wine, which I really have come to love that song. And I feel like as we were singing it, God gave me a really interesting insight. I grew up in Southern California, and a few of my girlfriends and I would sometimes, when we were of age, drive up to Santa Barbara and go wine tasting. And we would do tours of the wineries, and I'm not a sommelier. I'm not a, like, I like wine, but I'm not that fancy. But we got to learn a little bit about the process. And when a grower first plants those grapes are babied. Those grapes are so delicately cared for. The soil has to be just right. The climate has to be just right. Where the sun is, what type of grape it is for that weather in that region, how much they water them, how often are they're picked and cared. It's such a process. It's so intense. And then they get picked. And those grapes are literally destroyed. They are demolished. I mean, the song says, in the crushing, in the pressing. They are. They're crushed and they're pressed. And back in the day, they were literally stomped on. Now, not so much. There are different processes in place. But those grapes are destroyed beyond all recognition. Completely. Now, the goal, the outcome is this incredibly complex and dynamic and beautiful product, right? You can tell I like wine. So it's so much more complex and intricate than a single grape is. There are so many more flavors and levels to it. It's, again, it's just so much more dynamic than a single grape. But when that grape is getting crushed, it doesn't know that's what's coming. It just knows it's getting crushed. It just knows it's getting destroyed. We all want to be wine. We want to be changed and grown and turned into this beautiful thing. But we don't want to go through the crushing. We don't want to go through the destroying. And I get it. I don't want to go through it either. It hurts a lot. But that's the process that helps us get to the other. So again, I'm not praying that you ask for pain and suffering. I'm not saying that that's what we need to be praying for as a church. What I am saying is we need to be very careful asking for God to keep us from all pain and all suffering. Again, where is your heart and what's the purpose of the prayer? The purpose of this prayer is turning to God, trusting him and asking him for help. So again, we don't know a ton about Jabez, but we can say that his impact comes from him trusting God and humbling himself to turn to God and ask for help. So what's our application? I think we can all agree that God has blessings for us, right? God has already blessed this church in tons of ways. He has showered blessings upon us, undoubtedly. And I'm sure he has more. I am positive he has more. But I think we can also agree that God waits until we are wise enough to handle those blessings for his kingdom in a way that does not destroy us, but in a way that grows our character. He will bless us when we can handle those blessings well. I'll admit to you, church, I'm exhausted. I'm tired. There are moments I'm in pain. The last 2 days I've had a terrible headache, borderline migraine. Thank you, women, for praying for me yesterday. That was beautiful. I've suffered in different ways. And I'll be honest, I want help. I want to turn to God and ask for help. And I'm going to ask you guys if you would like to turn to God and ask for help too. Now, you don't have to answer out loud. You don't have to raise your hand. But I'm going to ask you to turn to God and ask if reflect in your heart if you're ready to turn to God and ask for help. And our application today is that we're going to do exactly that. We're going to go to God and we're going to trust God that whatever answer he gives, it is good and it is well. So we are going to, as a church, pray the prayer of Jabez with some slight adjustments, but the overall prayer. I have permission from Pastor Nathan to pray this for us. And let's be honest, it's a tough prayer. Because again, we don't know how God's going to answer. We have to humble ourselves and admit we're in pain. We have to humble ourselves and admit we can't do it. We have to humble ourselves and admit I'm hurting. But let me explain the prayer. We'll break it down and then I'm going to ask you to join me. So if you have sorrow, if you have pain, then not even just today, ever. If you might have pain in the future, so all of us, right? Then you can pray this prayer. We're going to ask God to bless us so that we might bless others. We're going to ask God to expand our influence for his kingdom, not for our own. And we're going to pray to be filled with and led by the Holy Spirit. Just like we're asking for him in the Shape series, right? The Shape series is... When we were in the Shape series, we were asking the Holy Spirit to lead us in showing us our gifts. And we're going to ask that we would not harm ourselves and that we would not harm others. So, church, take a moment if you feel led to stand, if you feel led to kneel, if you want to stay sitting and just bow your head, if you want to raise your arms, however you feel led, please create space for that. And I'll ask you to join me in this prayer whenever you are ready. Father God, oh, that you would bless us and enlarge our ability to serve you and your kingdom. God, that your Spirit would fill us and lead us. God, will you please keep us from harming ourselves so that we might not bring ourselves pain, nor create pain or harm in any other. Father God, we ask these things in your Son's beautiful, precious, powerful name. Amen. I'm going to invite the worship team up. Our application this week, church, is pretty straightforward. Pray and ask. Pray and ask for the favor of God. Pray and ask for God to bless you. Pray and ask that you would use those blessings for his kingdom. And pray and ask that God would heal wounds, that he would heal souls, and that he would heal pain for his kingdom. As you pray this, maintain a servant's heart. Ask for God's help. Humbly approach God. And then listen. Be open to how God is going to respond, however he responds, and trust that he is good. And if you struggle with that, that's okay. Give it back over to God. Go right back to the start. Pray again. Thank you so much, church.